This evening, we are gathered together for a very special purpose. Originally, this gathering was to be at Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya Mataji's home. However, feeling that more people than the house could accommodate wanted to attend, they arranged for this hall we are sitting. In Krishna consciousness, the beautiful feature is the selfless mood of devotees. In material consciousness, people are always expecting something for themselves. And if any type of opportunity comes to get something, we become very happy. But devotees, they want to take every opportunity to give something. And the most wonderful thing to give is Krishna consciousness. Or to offer some seva to the Lord and his devotees. It's very wonderful in our Hare Krishna movement when it's somebody's birthday here in Bombay, the person whose birthday it is just wants to give gifts to everyone. It's very difficult to give them anything in return. Similarly, when Krishna was born, or he appeared in Gokul Mahavan, then Nanda Maharaj, it's not that he expected people to come and give gifts. He was giving hundreds and thousands of cows in charity. Each one with golden horns and golden hoods and silken cloth over them. He gave mountains and mountains of grains. You remember the story, the song Dinabandhu Prabhu sang at Mahavan last year, all about all the gifts that Nanda Maharaj was giving. And Vasudev, although he was in prison, he had nothing to give. But in his mind, he was meditating on giving hundreds and thousands of cows and gold and grains to qualified people. So when some special auspicious thing happens in our life, what makes it really auspicious is the enthusiasm it brings in our hearts to render service. And when we please the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas, and they bestow their blessings on us, then everything is all auspicious. There are various samskaras within the Vedic tradition, and one of the most important is the samskara of marriage. Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Radha Priya Mataji, they have raised their children with such a spirit of devotion. It's so very pleasing to see that when it came to the time of marriage for eldest daughter Radha Devi Dasi, the only consideration was what is best for her Krishna consciousness. When the announcement was made that this noble, wonderful, humble, saintly devotee, Mukunda Prabhu, was going to be married to Radha Devi Dasi, the temple room was stunned. The women just cried out, "Harivo!" Everyone stood to their feet. The men were shocked. Even the brahmacharis. One brahmachari, he said that now I understand what is renunciation. No conception of material considerations, only the consideration of what's best for Krishna consciousness. So this coming together of these two wonderful souls is actually very historical. Because in India especially, the consideration of caste and income and appearance and all these things, astrology, is very influential. But in this situation, the only consideration was what is best for Krishna consciousness. What is the devotional qualities of the people involved? What is the faith that we have in the integrity of their humility, their devotion, and their commitment to Srila Prabhupada? So the families wanted to have a Harikatha and Harikirtan celebration in honor of this event. In fact, they, although this is the purpose of the event, they hardly tell anyone what the purpose is. When devotees come together to chant, when they give the opportunity to distribute prasad, to accommodate Vaishnav relationships in hearing and chanting, then how much the blessings of the Lord and the devotees come upon us. I am so overjoyed with gratitude for the wonderful, wonderful example that these families are setting in their practical lives. One may ask, what is a sannyasi talking about the joys of a marriage? But marriage in Krishna consciousness is renunciation. I'd like to cite an example. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Jagannath Puri. At that time, he came to visit Srila Haridas Thakur and Srila Rupa Goswami. They live at a place called Siddha Bakula. Because Haridas Thakur was born in an untouchable family by mundane considerations, and Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami as well, because they served under Malecha and Yavana, they were barred from any social facilities within the Hindu religion. They were not allowed in the temple of Jagannath. And because they were so humble, they never even tried to go in. They could have disguised themselves, but they didn't try because they didn't feel qualified. They believed what people said. When a devotee is criticized, instead of saying, "Well, how can you say that about me? Do you know who I am, what I have done, where I'm coming from, where I'm going?" A devotee says, "Oh, that's all you know about me? Lucky you don't know the rest." You are just sampling one drop from the ocean of my sinful, lowly qualities. That is how Vaishnava feels in his heart. That humility is what attracts Krishna. So they remained in Siddhabakul. But every day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Jagannath himself, would come out of the temple and spend several hours just having Hari Katha and nice satsang with Haridas Thakur, Rupa or Sanatan. So one day he was there and he saw in a palm leaf that was put in the thatched roof of the hut that Rupa Goswami wrote a particular verse. And this verse revealed that Srila Rupa Goswami understood the innermost esoteric essence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. Only Swarup Damodar Goswami were these things revealed to. Lord Chaitanya himself was overwhelmed with bliss and surprise. The next day he went and told his devotees how Rupa Goswami understood the innermost feelings of love. He understood that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Srimati Radharani within and Krishna without. And he understood what is the ecstatic feelings that Radharani feels when she sees Krishna in Kurukshetra, begging him to come back to Vrindavan. So Lord Chaitanya brought some of his devotees. One of them was Ramananda Rai. He was extolling the glories of Rupa Goswami. And then he said, he's the younger brother of Sanatana Goswami. He said to Ramananda Rai, because Ramananda Rai was praising also, he said, I want you to know, Ramananda Rai, you are a grihastha. But I see that the renunciation of Sanatana Goswami and you are one and the same. Let's try to understand what this means. Ramananda Rai is a grihastha with wife. He was governor of a whole province of Madras. When Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya met him at Kabur, on the banks of Godavari, Ramananda Rai was being carried on a royal palanquin that had silk and gold and jewels decorating it. There were thousands of people all around him, marching bands, playing instruments, Brahmins chanting mantras, all just to accommodate this royal person coming to take a bath in the river. Wherever he went, he had that type of entourage. And then when he came to Puri, he was teaching young, beautiful dancing girls how to dance, how to sing for the pleasure of Jagannath in secluded places. And let us examine the life of Sanatana Goswami. At that time, he renounced his kingdom, where he was a multimillionaire. He was living under different tree every night in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, very hot in the summer, very cold in the winter. No bed, he slept on the hard ground. He had one set of clothes, just some old torn copan and some covering and a little quilt. He would beg madukari, house to house, He practically slept only 1.5 to 2 hours a day. The renunciation of Sanatana Goswami, if anyone tries to imitate it, they will die. But yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ramananda Rai, I see that the renunciation of yourself living in your palace and Sanatana Goswami living under the tree is the same. Srila Prabhupada explains that whether one is a sannyasi or is a grihastha, in and of itself is not an important or significant consideration. But how much Krishna is in the center of one's life, how much one has an aspiration to serve with humility, that is true renunciation. We have seen there are yogis living in Himalayan mountains who wear no clothes. They tried to convert me to be like them at one time. No clothes. I said, please, I just got here. I need to wear at least a kofan. In the winter, what do they eat? A little handful of chipped rice every day or so. Very austere. For years and years and years they lived that way. They didn't bathe. They didn't comb their hair. They didn't talk to anyone. Their skin was like leather from just the toughness of their tapasya. But yet, the grihasthas in Bombay, who have their jobs, wear suits and ties to work, sometimes eat samosas and gulab jamuns, they're actually more renounced. Because the true spirit of renunciation, yukta vairagya, is how much Krishna is in the center of my life. And this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu evaluated. And he's the absolute authority. And we must take our signals from him of how we view the world. Thakur Bhaktivinod pray, Grihe Thako, Vani Thako, Sadahari Bole Thako. Whether you're grihastha living at home, or whether you are brahmachari living in ashram, or sannyasi living in the jungle, just keep Krishna in the center by always chanting his holy names, and you will taste the nectar of bhakti. In Vaishnav society, nobody thinks I'm better than somebody else. Prabhupada explains, Vaikuntha mentality is everyone's better than me. So it's not that because Lord Chaitanya said that Ramananda Rai is equally renounced in his grihastha ashram as Sanatan, that didn't mean that Sanatan went and got married. And it didn't mean that Ramananda Rai went to live under a tree. They each had their particular service to render, which was best for them. And because in a selfless mood of devotion they kept Krishna in the center, they were equal. Tonight we have Shamsundar Prabhu with us. Such a benediction of Srila Prabhupada. On so many occasions, Srila Prabhupada would speak in his lectures, in his letters, in his talks with individual devotees, that these six devotees, Shamsundar Prabhu and Malati Mataji, John Mukunda Maharaj and Janaki, Gurudas Prabhu and Jamuna Mataji, they were grihasthas. Even with a baby, babies don't come from living under trees. And yet, he was saying, what my sannyasi godbrothers could not do, these grihasthas have done. Establish Krishna consciousness in London, which was the capital of the whole British Empire, including India for hundreds of years. He told Hayagriva, you get married. Hayagriva Prabhu. Hayagriva Prabhu said, I want to just do devotional service. He said, well, look at what Shamsundar is doing. Who is doing more service than him? He's married. You follow in his footsteps. At the same time, when Chota Haridas misbehaved, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very angry. So the Brahmachari ashram, the sannyasi ashram, are sacred. If we could best serve in that ashram, if we're satisfied in that ashram, then we should give our heart and soul to following the principle strictly without duplicity. But if we could best serve in the grihastha ashram, and that's where we're most naturally strong in our Krishna consciousness, the facility to make spiritual advancement is the same. The spirit of renunciation is the same, providing Krishna is in the center of our life. Our earnings and everything is being utilized to promote Krishna consciousness for our family and for the world. And when the various devotees in different statuses of life understand and appreciate the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this regard, then there will be unity, harmony, and great power within our movement to transform people's hearts. Advaitacharya was grihastha. He had 6 children. Shivananda Sen was grihastha, several children. Nityananda Prabhu, grihastha, son and daughter. Srinivasacharya was grihastha. Srivas Thakur was grihastha. Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, they were all in the renounced order of life. Another Singhananda, Brahmachari. Powerful, pure devotees, all of them serving according to their capacity with great enthusiasm, giving their life, their soul, or everything for Krishna. Real renunciation is to keep Krishna in the center. And wherever we see Krishna in the center of people's lives, we celebrate. We offer our millions of obeisances from within and without. So tonight's program is celebrating the renunciation of two people about to get married. It is a transcendental apparent contradiction that is synthesized in a higher understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. They are getting married exclusively for the purpose of helping each other to serve the devotees and Krishna. There's no other consideration. And of course, that means protecting and caring for the person as a Vaishnava. A man's wife, that is a secondary consideration. You are my wife. The first consideration is you are a Vaishnavi. You are the property of Radha and Krishna. You are the property of Srila Prabhupada. You are entrusted in my care. Your body, your mind, your soul is entrusted in my care. If a man makes an aparad to his wife, he's going to, his Krishna consciousness will suffer if she's a devotee. And if she's not a devotee, he will suffer even more. So suffering is inevitable. Unless you're very, very careful and Krishna conscious in your dealings. And for a wife, the husband's representative of Guru and Krishna. To serve, to honor, to respect. That is the way of making progress. Krishna in the center, not our ego in the center. The whole material world, is ego, is in the center of all interrelationships. And that's the only cause of corruption and deterioration in relationships. It was I and mine is considered, rather than Trinadapi Sunichena, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Brahmachari ashram is havoc as soon as one brahmachari becomes egoistic. Becomes a miserable place to live. As long as anyone is thinking about their own prestige, the whole atmosphere is polluted. But if all the brahmacharis are taught very carefully that your existence here is totally dependent on your humility and your desire to sacrifice and serve, then everyone becomes ecstatic. No matter how many tribulations or troubles or curbing the senses, it's an ecstatic atmosphere because it's Vaikuntha. And similarly in Grihastha Ashram, where there's the spirit of service, where there's a spirit of respect, where there's a spirit of honoring Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis, it's Vaikuntha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his beautiful song, he said, when I come home, I see my house with my wife and 10 children transformed into Goloka Vrindavan. That's what Bhaktivinoda saw. For other people, if you don't have that spirit of respect, humility, and desire to serve, not to enjoy, then the Grihastha Ashram is the deep, dark well of material existence. Where you cry in misery, but you're so deep down in the darkness that no one hears you. And even the sannyasa ashram. If we have egoistic, selfish motives, that ashram becomes like a deep, dark well. But if we have the spirit of Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarorapi Seshtana, Amanina Manadena Kirtani Adani, to serve, to honor, to respect, then any situation is transformed into the spiritual world. The family of Sri Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Radha Priya Mataji, Radha Devi Dasi, Anjali Mataji, and Priyavrat Prabhu, what can we say? Krishna Chandra Prabhu is ready to do anything he can within his power for any devotee at any time, no matter what else is happening in his life. He's a selfless, humble servant of the devotees. And what he is, his wife is in a female form. Staying up all night, making arrangements for the deities, making their dresses, making their jewelry, cooking. What to speak of, they're two of the leading people in the marriage council. where day and night they're just trying to think of how to best situate devotees in such a way to serve them so that they can be strong in their devotional service throughout their lives. It's not of this, they don't belong in Kali Yuga. Save and accept by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Everyone is so grateful to them. And their children are following in that path in such a sweet and wonderful way. Come from a wealthy environment, but they love to just sleep on the floor in the ladies' ashram or in the brahmachari ashram. When they go on yatras, they go just second class with all the devotees. Because for them, opulence is not an air-conditioned bed in a train. For them, the real opulence is to be with the devotees, even if it means sleeping on the floor. That is the real opulence. To be with the devotees, struggling along, talking about Krishna, together chanting the holy names. In fact, if they knew I was going to say these things, I'm sure they would never have invited us for this program tonight. But it's part of renunciation. Accept what comes of its own accord. So tonight we are celebrating an act of great renunciation, an act of devotion, the engagement of Radha Devi Dasi and Mukunda Das Prabhu. Let us all appeal to Krishna to bestow blessings upon them by loudly chanting Hari Bol. Krishna Chandra Prabhu's sister, Maithili Priya, wonderful husband, Srinathji Prabhu, Keshava Namamrita, Radha Giri Dare, Brinda Priya, Chaitanya, his good wife. It's a wonderful dynasty of Vaishnavas. Who can understand? Rishab, Gorangi, Krishangi. At this time, Radha Gopinath Temple has, what, about 55 brahmacharis? Yes? Around 55 brahmacharis. And Pune has about 30. It's almost two parts of the same ashram. And by Prabhupada's mercy, they're very, very happy because they're very much striving in the humble service of Srila Prabhupada together. And at the same time, we have so many hundreds and hundreds of people who are in the Grihastha ashram. And really, there's no difference. The only difference is variegatedness of their transcendental devotional service to the Lord. So let us always keep this spirit alive of finding our greatest happiness in life in seeing other devotees getting Krishna's mercy, in seeing other devotees advancing in Krishna consciousness. There is no greater joy to the heart of a Vaishnava. So we should all feel very joyful today. I didn't plan to speak these things, but somehow or other I spoke. Any mistakes, please forgive me. But the real treasure of tonight's opportunity for all of us is these great souls who are patiently tolerating what's going on. They are the confidential associates of Srila Prabhupada. We have three of the most confidential internal associates of Srila Prabhupada amongst us. So we'd like to ask each of them to speak something. We will begin with Yadubar Prabhu.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak some words. Actually, Bombay is a very special place for me because I first came here in December 11th, 1970. And my goal was to find Srila Prabhupada and the devotees and do a picture essay, photographic essay on the devotees for a thesis in my master's degree program in New York State. So I got off the plane and went to Mr. Kailash Seksaria's house, the Marine Drive, and I had one address. And I knocked on the door and Mr. Seksaria invited me in. He said, unfortunately, they have just left. And they went to a town, Prabhupada and the devotees went to a town called Surat. So that night, that very night, I didn't spend even one night in Bombay. I got on the train and rode, I guess maybe, I arrived in the evening, I know that. And I had no address, I just knew the devotees were there. And I think it is Surat's a town of about 50,000 people or more. It's a large town. And I asked at the train station, where are the American Hare Krishnas? And I asked one rickshawwala. And he immediately said, get in, and he went there straight. So Prabhupada's formula had already worked, and that is to bring the American Vaishnavas to India, and then everybody will become attracted somehow or other, even the rickshawwalas. So I knocked on the door of this house, and the first person who answered the door was Rishi Kumar. And he happened to be the first person I had met in New York in doing my first professional assignment, which happened to be covering the devotees of the Hare Krishna movement. So Krishna did not let me get very far in my professional career before he ruined it, so to speak. So that night I went to see Srila Prabhupada. He took me in immediately. It was about 9 o'clock at night. And I had two magazines with me. One was called Asia Magazine, and the other was called Earth Magazine. So Prabhupada went that very night, he went through every page of both magazines. And it was especially, actually I found that Earth Magazine some months ago, and I went through it, and it was quite shocking what Srila Prabhupada saw. It was kind of a magazine of the hippie era. And we don't want to say what was in that magazine. When Srila Prabhupada finally came to the magazine or the article on Krishna consciousness, he said, yes, when we find gold in a dirty place, we have to take it. We take gold from a dirty place. So this was my... and then afterwards, after spending a week or so in Surat, we came back to Bombay and stayed at the Sea Palace Hotel. And Mr. Ramchand Chabria, I believe, hosted us. Very wonderful person. And then my wife and I, Vishaka, we spent... some time developing Hare Krishna land, which was a great austerity in those early years. We're actually recreating that right now for the Abhay Charan video series. And those were very austere days. And I remember walking around with the plans for Juhu, thinking, how can this ever happen? But by Srila Prabhupada's vision and determination, it actually came about very quickly. And now we have wonderful Hare Krishna land there in Juhu. But it's actually, the important thing is not in Krishna consciousness, is not the buildings, it's not the big places, it's actually the spirit of Krishna consciousness. Radhanath Maharaj asked me to read his lecture that he gave at Vyas Puja today, and he asked me, is there anything, I should, is there any input I would like to give? Is there any correction, or is there any... Very humbly, he was asking me for input. And I found it absolutely perfect. I found no, of course, flaw in it. And it actually, what I see before me is the result of pure leadership. And I think that is the key to any difficulties we're having in our Krishna consciousness movement. Because Prabhupada said many times that whatever of course Krishna said also, whatever great men do, others will follow. And this is true also, of course, within our movement. So the purity of the leadership is absolutely essential. And we saw that with Prabhupada. There were many difficulties, of course, when he was with us. But by his presence, the difficulties became they just disappeared. I remember in Calcutta, that was the first temple we lived, Vishak and I lived in. And I was initiated there along with Janani Vas Prabhu. And there were so many problems. And then Prabhupada was coming in a few months, so everybody was kind of holding on to that, hope that Prabhupada was coming and he could settle everything. So we had big plans and big, presentations that we were going to make to Prabhupada about all the, difficulties and the ins and outs of them. And Prabhupada finally came, and just by his presence, everything was, we didn't have to speak. We said nothing. We all gathered in his room, and he said, "So, what is the problem?" And nobody said anything. And then one lady, I forget who it was, she said, "Actually, Prabhupada, there is no problem." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, you have understood correctly." And actually, it's a fact, if we are in Krishna consciousness, there actually are no problems. Prabhupada was absolutely, perfectly correct. So it's very inspiring to see the spirit here. Really, it's really the spirit of Krishna consciousness, and it has nothing to do with facility or anything else. It's just the mood and the consciousness, which is very wonderful to see. And my belief is that it just takes one person to create this. And I thank you very much for allowing me to be a part of it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. You hear me? Well, to carry on a bit in this mood that Radhanath Goswami has brought up about the renunciation of householder life and the renunciation of sannyasi ashram being equal and both perfectly potent means of spreading Krishna consciousness. Today, I was blessed to have seen the Bhaktivedanta Hospital for the very first time. I went on a tour this afternoon of that facility. And I'm still reeling from the effects of seeing this wonderful... Chandra and family have created of hundreds of sannyasis. The renunciation of one man in the householder life has already done the same amount of preaching work of hundreds of sannyasis. The preaching work is equal. The devotional community as strong as it is here in Bombay. Now that is the work on the one hand of your great householder devotees, not only Krishnachandra and his family, but many of the other, oh my goodness, the wonderful humble doctor that I met today who invited me to his home for lunch. I mean, this fellow, he could have been making a fortune as a doctor, had a license to practice medicine, living in a palatial house with a car. And he took me to this tiny, humble apartment where he was perfectly happy to live and serve Krishna over at the hospital. But on the other hand, you have this glorious flower of Bombay has not been possible without the renunciation of one very great sannyasi to my right here. I heard from this doctor some of the early stories about Radhanath Goswami when he first came to Bombay. Was it 12 years ago? 10 years ago? A long time ago. Come on, tell me.
Well, first time?
When you first came here and started working, right?
When I first came, I met you and you preached.
No, I mean after that. All right, well, forget about how many years ago it was. We're getting to be more and more timeless even. Okay. Anyway, when he first came here, this doctor was telling me how marvelous it was that he just walked around and spoke to the young people who were coming to the temple in Juhu and began talking to them and talking to them and talking to them and showing by his example the fine inner spirit of Krishna consciousness, till they began to see an example living among them that began to coalesce and grow and grow. And seeing this now, after so many years, come into shape in this perfect way, reveals another very, very high level of renunciation, that of the sannyasi, the pure sannyasi. So it isn't the station in life, it's the amount of renunciation. And that renunciation means that Krishna is in the center and takes priority over everything. I'm not sure, though, that you realize what I won't say nearly insane leader you have here sitting beside me, but he's a little bit eccentric. Do they know the story of the Vietnam? Radhanath told me this story the other day. I don't know how it came out, but he was, for many years, 5 or 7 years, he was the pujari at the mountain temple in America known as New Vrindavan. Very remote place, hilly jungle country, with no surrounding neighbors or cities anywhere nearby. And for 5 years, 7 years, he didn't leave that place. He sat up there and worshipped the deities and learned how to focus what Prabhupada had been telling him. Until finally he was forced out of the nest one day and sent to preach in some college in that state. And at the college program he was lecturing to the students, and he mentioned that this material world is such a horrible place and so unpredictable that one moment you can be enjoying the fruits of your society and your student life and having a wonderful time with your studies and so on. And in the next moment you may get a letter in the mail from the government forcing you to go off and fight in Vietnam. And one student raised his hand and said, "But sir, the Vietnam War has been over for 3 years. And Radhanath, he's such a sincere man. He went, "Oh, wonderful." He was so pleased the war had ended. Later on in the program, there was he was talking about using leaders as examples, and he happened to mention President Nixon's name. And some other student raised their hand and said, "But sir, there's been 2 presidents since President Nixon." And his reaction was, "Oh, what are their names?" So just see how immersed someone can be.
At New Vrindavan, the only news we got is when a cow would give birth to a calf.
But during that time, you were immersed in developing Krishna consciousness. Krishna became the center of your life. You didn't care about the Vietnam War or who was president. It was only Krishna. That kind of focus and concentration is very, very rare in our movement, very rare in history. Prabhupada always said it only takes a few moons to outshine millions and millions of stars. And I think that is the purpose of our preaching movement, is to broadcast, throw the nets and broadcast widely the glories of Krishna consciousness, in the hope that as we reel in the fish, that out of we may get 1, 2, 3, 4. Bombay is especially blessed by having an abundance of such wonderful fish. Another great example to me has always been, well, is now more than ever, the example of Yadubara and his wonderful wife Ishaka and their children. I last saw Yadubara in 72 or 73. Until late last year, I saw Yadubara again. And my God, Yadubara! In all those years, I began to piece together all the things that Yadubara has done, the movies he's made on behalf of Krishna consciousness, showing Prabhupada in all of his glories, and these have gone out in the same way that the hospital has been preaching. He has been preaching through these movies, that millions of people have now seen around the world over a period of 30 years with the same wife. Now she's with him writing scripts for his crew as they do the acting, and he does the filming, and what a Krishna conscious little family. And their two daughters are both in Gurukuls, right? Both in Gurukuls. And one daughter is here. Where is she?
Stand up.
Come on.
Stand up, Armita.
Up, please. Little Yadavara and Vishaka. So they're serving, learning to serve Krishna also. I just want to say how happy I am to be here, and thank you so much for listening to me. It's the example of Bombay is one of the driving forces that keeps me going to see all of you and the development of Prabhupada's dream. Prabhupada, in the early days in Bombay, was one thing that another thing that's come up was this recent script, the film script that you've been shooting, Yadavara. It was really exciting to see that the focus of the script is mostly about how Prabhupada got the Juhu land. Because in the early days, when we were here with him, we didn't realize the importance of what he was trying to do. We thought, oh, that sphere, it's too far away. In those days, Juhu was like the edge of Bombay. The other, beyond Juhu, was jungle and swamp. There was no reason to even go there. But to portray how Prabhupada did all the work in acquiring that place, and then to see it today, and then to go out to the main road and take a left instead of a right, and go through Bombay for another 20, 30 miles to the hospital, and see that now Juhu is in the center of Bombay, and how Prabhupada saw all that 30 years ago, far in advance of us. And now to see it all happen, realize I'm still alive, I'm still the same person I was then, that all this has happened in my lifetime. It's a wonderful feeling that maybe I've... all glories to Prabhupada. All glories to his vision, and all glories to the devotees who are working so hard to make his vision come true.
So, thank you for inviting us to this wonderful occasion of engagement for marriage. In India, and especially in Bombay, it's so pious people. In fact, I think this is the most pious people I've ever seen in India, in this part of the world. And, of course, piety also has its disadvantages, in that you have family traditions and you're obliged to so many things, which sometimes appear to be contradictory to Krishna consciousness. Just like the actual marriage ceremony, the samskara of marriage, according to this Smarta Vidhi, it's more or less for procreation, to get good son, so the sons can do pinda, to help you and the father in his future destination. In other words, to take rebirth again, and wherever he may be. So of course the Vaishnavas, they don't care so much for these rules and regulations, which simply bind us to the material world. But even, you know, I've been meeting a lot of people here and in Mangalore, but it's the first time I'm hearing these questions, you know, what do you do when the family tradition is such, and you know, we get our devas we are worshipping and things like that, and we have to face our family traditions and things like that. So it's Prabhupada explains that if you keep Krishna in the center, then everything actually works out nicely. This is actually the purpose of all the samskaras. So the husband takes a... He doesn't accept a wife, he accepts a Krishna Dasi. And this companionship becomes the basis for an ideal home where they simply help each other in Krishna consciousness. So it has really nothing to do with procreation or helping forefathers producing children to help them in the future destination of the family, for family tradition. But it helps. Living a very peaceful life, because devotees, they understand, you know, what the material world is and how it should be used. It's Krishna's energy and it should be used in Krishna's service. And so they're using it in this aspect. And because they know the purpose of life is to be used with Krishna, and also the purpose of leaving the body is to go back to Krishna, then actually they have no fear in this world. They have no fear of these dogmas and rituals that, you know, you must worship this deva, you must stick strictly to the principles of our forefathers, otherwise you will incur sin and things like that. They're beyond all this. They're actually fearless because they understand a little bit about Krishna and Krishna consciousness. I was just remembering, Shamashunda was just reminding me when he was talking about Mayapur in the early days. And I was remembering the conversations that Srila Prabhupada was having there with Bob Cohen. And they made that book, Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. There's always one thing that really struck me that most, like, of all those conversations. And Bob Cohen, he was asking Srila Prabhupada that. He said, I was talking to one gentleman and he was asking me something, but I really didn't know how to answer him, what to say. And Prabhupada said, no, first you have to understand yourself properly. He says, first you become convinced, then you can convince others. So this is Krishna consciousness. When we become convinced of Krishna consciousness, then life becomes easy. We don't have any problems. And basically what Krishna consciousness is chanting Hare Krishna, 16 rounds minimum, serving Krishna favorably, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. That's all. If somebody follows this perfectly, they go back to Godhead in one lifetime. There has never been a time more easy or a process given by someone that is so simple. Nobody's ever said this before practically. Even Prabhupada's contemporaries, what to speak if you study the Vedas, you'll never come to this conclusion. But Prabhupada was saying it all the time. And why he can say that is because as a representative of Krishna, he was sent here to establish Krishna consciousness according to time and circumstance. So Prabhupada went, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted his mission spread all over the world, so he wasn't just preaching in India like most of the other acharyas. They were preaching to cultured persons, you know, they at least they knew who Krishna was. We had never even heard of Krishna in the West. But Prabhupada went to the West, and he saw the situation. And he saw what they could do and what they couldn't do. So he established, according to time and circumstance, these simple principles. And he said, if you simply follow these, you can go back to Godhead. But he said, if you don't follow them, then I cannot help you. That means if you do follow, he will definitely help you. And because he made that, he studied the situation, he saw what is necessary according to time and circumstance in this Kali Yuga, and he prescribed it, then we understand that the full power of attorney of Lord Chaitanya is behind him. Lord Chaitanya, when he sends his representative here, he says, you can do exactly what you like. He has that much confidence and faith in his representative that whatever you think is best for them, you do. And my full power is behind you. So it is not that this Prabhupada is saying these things or is sentimental. No, it's a fact. So we have this conviction, we have this confidence. And because we have this confidence that we know the whole purpose of life, and we also know the future, that's our destination, but no one else does. You ask anyone in the world, what is your destination at the time of death? Nobody will tell you, nobody knows. So this is the great fear of the world. It's the greatest fear. But devotees do not have that fear. They've solved the problem of life. For billions and billions of, they've solved the problem. And that is why devotees live together very peaceably. Because they've solved the problem. And now their only business, let's help solve others' problems. That's all they do. Prabhupada said, a Vaishnava, he doesn't live for himself, he lives for others only. Because his problem has been solved. And he's so indebted to that person who has solved his problem that he simply wants to serve that person. And that person who is appearing as the guru, he's simply repeating the same thing. Please, just go out and give Krishna consciousness to others. So the devotees are just going out, and whether they're married or sannyasis, they don't care about their... They don't have time to argue and fight like anyone else, because everyone else has that fear of death. So it means you've got to enjoy as much as you can, otherwise the Western philosophy, you only live but once, and when you're dead, you're gone. So let the good times roll. It's like that. You got to enjoy. Otherwise, you're going to lose out. But the devotees know that, you know, that we know our future. It's not just coming to some death and then we don't know, and it's just a fearful situation. That is our destiny. No, Prabhupada told us our destination. He said, be happy in Krishna consciousness life, give to others. Then when you go back, Krishna will be waiting for you. He said, Krishna will be there to embrace you. Lord Chaitanya will be waiting with a Sankirtan party to welcome you back. So devotees are actually enthusiastic, looking forward to what everybody else is fearing in their life. Devotees are actually looking forward to it. Especially when they're getting older. Like, we're starting to get old now, you know, getting a lot of problems. And you can't do so much. And now you know, this old age is actually a real good thing now. Nobody likes it, but actually devotees, you know. It's kind of a good thing. It really gives you that, you know, you got to get out, you know. And you can't do what you used to, and you know, you're trying to hang on to your beauty, and you pull out the grey hairs, and a bit later you start pulling out the black hairs. And But we know the future, that we have a place there, you know, with Prabhupada, with the other devotees at Krishna's lotus feet. Where it's eternal, where there's none of this, all this whole miserable situation is finished. So this is what Prabhupada was saying, that first become convinced of this philosophy. Then you can convince others. If you're not convinced yourself, you can't convince others. So when we become convinced ourselves, then actually we're happy in life. Then all the little problems, they don't bother us. They just don't bother. Because they're just going to have, Krishna says, in the summer it's going to get hot, in the winter it's going to get cold. Arjuna, there's no solution to the problem. You've got to tolerate it. So the devotees, they can just tolerate. Because they know it's just a few more years now anyway. We've got to tolerate, it's going to happen. There's nothing we can do about it. So they just spend their whole time simply spreading Krishna consciousness. They don't have time for fighting and fussing and things like that, worrying about acquiring so many things for their sense gratification, because they know they're not going to take it with them. So their whole business is simply living for others, giving to others. And this is one of the great experiences that I'm realizing here with all these wonderful congregational devotees, that they're so kind. Is the first time I've been to a dentist where he falls down at my feet and pays me money to have to I have some operation in my mouth. So it's very remarkable what you are achieving here. And what Srila Prabhupada has given us is the greatest thing. And we know that how Krishna consciousness was so, as Jadavar Prabhu was saying, you know, it just wasn't a problem. It just dissolved in Prabhupada's presence. It just dissolved. And there was such a spirit of unity and family feeling that we often hear about now, that old feeling of family. And my understanding of that was that simply because what Prabhupada said this, and all of the energy of International Society of Krishna Con devotees just went to that point. And it was perfect harmony, perfect happiness with all the devotees. Simply we wanted to do whatever he said. So we've seen this type of Krishna consciousness, how it works when Srila Prabhupada is here. And factually, I think this is the success of Krishna consciousness, that it is based on one person. And here we see another ideal example that Srila Prabhupada has created in Srila Radhanathaswami, and how dedicated you are to his teachings, his followings, and how you're all the same consciousness is here. I feel that, like when we're in Prabhupada's here, and this is the key to your success. Because of this one single-minded determination in executing the instructions that you're getting from a guru, and he's simply repeating what Prabhupada is giving. And this is, you know, in today's ISKCON, you know, people are bringing up so many things and this dissatisfaction, and even trying to bring down, put the leaders out the picture, and saying Prabhupada is the only leader, which we all know that, but he's not physically present. We need that physical living person here. And we see practically how it's working here so nicely in here in Chaupati. So I'm so happy to be here. I've got so many realizations about, you know, how Krishna consciousness is easily spread when we take to it sincerely under the guidance and shelter, when we take shelter of a pure devotee, how effective it becomes. And especially here, when we have this, you know, wonderful congregation. And Srila Prabhupada told Jayapataka Maharaj that, he said, don't think that everybody's going to come and live in the temples. He said, no, our main congregations are going to be outside. All of our devotees of International Society of Krishna Consciousness, maximum will be outside. Don't think everyone's going to come and live in temple. So here we see a very strong manifestation of this statement of Srila Prabhupada. In Mayapur, I don't see beyond the four walls, and I see everybody's living in, like, in the complex in the temple. But here we see how expanded it is. And this is Srila Prabhupada's prediction. And here we see an actual manifestation of another one of his predictions. So thank you very much, Radhanathaswami, for setting such a wonderful Krishna conscious example for the whole society to follow, collectively and individually. And thank you very much for being such a wonderful congregation and being such a wonderful example for the whole society, individually and collectively, to follow, and also for looking after me. I'm like a little puppet, but you're so kindly taking me here and there and giving me many Alfonso milkshakes and... I've taken more ice creams in the last few days in Bombay than the rest of my ISKCON career. So don't tell anyone when you go to Mayapur. Yeah. No, I'm joking. Or you can say it was doctor's orders. He said the good cold is good for the tooth. Doctor's orders is good. Otherwise, Pankajangri will chastise me, beat me up even. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Yarubar Prabhu ki. Sham Sundar Prabhu ki. Janani Vash Prabhu ki.
Many of you probably may not be knowing that the mother of two of our most leading and beloved congregation couples, Ms. Dwarkadish Prabhu and Vishakha Priya Mataji, and Shridham Prabhu and his wife Kishori Mataji. So the mother of Shridhama and Dwarkadish Prabhu's, Panna Bendalal. Many of you know her, but you may not be knowing that she is in a very serious condition in the Jaslok Hospital. And it's Maharaj's humble request that on today we should all pray for her recovery. She is in the intensive care and she is in, put through a lot of difficulties, and this kirtan, as Maharaj has requested, that we should from the bottom of our heart dedicate it in for her recovery, so that she can be back amongst us all here, as well as for the well-being of both she and husband Narendra Bhai. So please, when we chant today, do remember, and if your blessings are there, certainly it will Krishna will be doing what is most appropriate and best for her. Hare Krishna.
When Dwarkadish Prabhu and Sridhama Prabhu came to Krishna consciousness, it was a great shock for the parents, as it is for all parents. But due to their good nature, simple hearts, she's been chanting 16 rounds. Since 1989, she's come to most all of our yatras, to Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, Mayapur, Hampi. So she's really a very dedicated devotee of older parents who really stand behind, encourage, and support their children when they come to Krishna consciousness. So we have a great debt to all such examples of these rare qualities. So she's very seriously ill. So please let us pray to Krishna according to his desire that he give her his special mercy. Consciousness. Everything is so transcendentally connected. We're simultaneously celebrating the coming marriage of Radha Devi and Mukunda Prabhu. We simply want Krishna to give his mercy to all his dear servants. That should always be our ultimate prayer of life. Thank you very much.